Every day, you are a leader and a follower. Jesus listened to his Father all the way to the cross. And Jesus led his followers with hard teachings about love, sacrifice, and servanthood. We can learn from Jesus how to be a leader and a follower. On this episode, Pastor Luck Yong will be discussing these issues with Mark, who has worked as a missionary in Japan and Singapore for many years. What is a Christian leader? How do we overcome the difficulties of being a leader and a servant? Let us find out. You are listening to Light from Asia, a podcast by Adam Road Presbyterian Church. The light of Jesus is shining for many nations. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us hear how he is shining from Asia.
So I think just begin with Mark. I'm going to ask Mark, from your experience in the mission field, when does a missionary become a leader?
So I guess it depends on how you define leadership, right? And what is a Christian leader? One working definition is this is someone who tries to influence people towards God's purposes. And so that by that definition, actually, you're all leaders. Because we are all trying to influence people. And when I say influence, that might make you a little bit uncomfortable. Paul tried to influence Timothy. He tried to influence other people that he ministered to. In fact, he told Timothy to make more disciples, right? Teach some who will be equipped to teach others. That's an influence. That's what I mean by that. If you're a missionary, you are there with the role to bring the good news. Now, it's the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God that does the work, right? And he's the one that brings fruit. But there is still a way that through our loving, through our befriending, through our praying, through our questions, through our challenges, that we try and influence people towards God.
So from that definition, even if you are doing a desk job at Raffles Place, you are still a leader, especially when you're next to a non-Christian friend. And because of the fact that you are saved, you pray for a friend quietly. And then you try to lead him to do what God wants him to do in his life. So you have become a leader. So it's something that we cannot escape from, actually.
Many of us don't want to be leaders. We kind of shy away from that and for a variety of reasons, right? Sometimes it's actually a genuine humility. Sometimes it's not wanting to take the responsibility. When we first went to Japan, I kind of wanted to stay in the background and just scope things out. Learn and take responsibility. Because if you take responsibility, it's more work and it's pressure and all those other things. By the way, if you're white in Japan, you don't stay in the background. There is no way to blend in unless you're in Tokyo.
One thing you can share in your experience out there, what is one big challenge in terms of becoming a leader and how does it affect your relationships?
Often this happens in your companies too. If you're asked to take on more responsibility, sometimes your colleagues, the people who are your friends, they start looking at you differently, that you have a new role, right? For many of us, we don't like that feeling. We don't like being kind of different than our friends. And it depends a lot on our temperaments. I want people to like me. You know, I have this problem sometimes because I'm a people pleaser. And sometimes that's great for building new relationships and things, but it also means that I'm afraid to speak the truth to people. If you're a Christian leader, using the small L here in the sense of not the CEO, but everyday Christian, if we are going to be God's people, we need to be able to speak the truth. You do it culturally and sensitively, but you still find a way to bring the truth of the gospel to bear. The problem is when you do that, you're not always popular, right? Or they start seeing you as, oh, you're one of those people. I can remember sitting at barbecues and things with my Japanese friends, and typically beer starts flowing at these things, right?
Sapporo.
Sapporo beer, yeah, yeah. Or Asahi. And the guys especially would drink too much. And then they would lean over and they'd say, the problem with you Christians is you always don't. You don't drink. I might have had a beer, but I wouldn't keep on drinking with them, right? You don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't go out. You don't. So the pressure there is they start seeing that as Christianity, That's not Christianity. That's religion. That's a different thing. There's this wanting to appease them on one hand and help them understand that you're a regular person, but at the same time, you have to help them understand that you are a regular person, but you're a regular person that's set apart to God's purposes. But it's the idea of people start looking at you differently. Even your coworkers, you're responsible, you're following the Lord, you're trying to please the Lord. If we're going to be biblical leaders, we do it by serving. First of all, we're serving God. We are aiming to please God. We are aiming to give Him glory. That's our purpose. It's not just an outcome of what we're trying to do, but it's what we're focused on doing. And then we can turn around and say, we can look at Jesus and look at how He led, how He leads by His Spirit now. So I think the initiative thing was really important because sometimes we don't really feel like we want to be the leader. But as Stacia is saying, you look around and you think, this group needs a leader. And so you step up to serve the group by taking a level of responsibility and initiative.
Just bouncing off from that point about service, because recently I've been thinking this whole issue, what exactly is servant leadership? Interestingly, Christ is king, but at the same time, the greatest servant of all. And if we don't get it right, when we think that Christian leaders become servants, and our job is just to please everyone else. And that is a wrong model of leadership. So servanthood doesn't mean to please people. It actually means to lead people to do what God wants them to do. That is a very tough work, and that's why you are serving when you become that leader. Because it's actually very easy to please everyone. You can do it for the wrong reasons. I mean, there's those political systems where once a year we give you a bag of rice, and you know, it's people pleaser and just win the votes, you see. But it's not that. The whole idea is it's tough. We talk about the cost of leadership, where you lose your friends, you might get lonely, or people, your dynamics are changed. But that's a form of service in itself. And my ultimate goal is really to lead them to where God wants them to. Yeah, and one of the things that I reflected, I find it very hard, then where are we leading them towards is, if you look at the Bible, all the different passages of the body of Christ, whether it's 1 Corinthians 12, whether it's the whole book of Ephesians, then you realize that the whole idea is we are to appreciate everyone for their gifts. I find that's really tough as a Christian leader, because especially the more you know God's word, the easier for you to judge the other party. And the longer you are as a Christian, it's easier to have your bar raised so high. And one of the hard things to do is to see that what God is using you as a leader is to put the whole jigsaw puzzle of the body of Christ, each one of his own gift, to do things, to serve him, to build the body. So I think the starting point is to really to love. If you don't love them, then you do not want to develop the person in his or her own gift. And then the gift is not being developed and the body of Christ is not being built up. You know what John's, 1 John, right, letter, if you love God and you don't know your neighbor, you don't love your neighbor, then it's ridiculous. And if you claim to love God, right, and human beings are made in God's image, all the more we are called to love them. And the way to love them is, how do I build them up in Christ? How do I make them a better Christian, a more disciple Christian? How are they walking closer to God? I think that's a key thing. Rather than putting the task.
The task is secondary.
Yeah, because if you build out a person, for me, I believe, then the task, the person will figure out in ways better than you, than you can. Because we also are limited in our gifts. We are limited in our perspectives. And because we are just a part of them. I think that distinguishes the difference between Christian leadership and non-Christian leadership. One of the big things. Are the people growing as a result of being led by you? So whether it's talking to a non-Christian colleague, sharing the gospel. You know, even in presenting the gospel, how are you growing the person, the angle? Or are you just trying to convert his perspectives of Christianity? We're not trying to win people to agree with you as if we all have the same doctrinal statement, we agree, and we are both safe. You know? Not true. You can agree intellectually the same doctrinal statement. Both could be sons of hell. So how are you building people up? I think that's the tough thing I find.
Just responding to what you said, we have all these buzzwords now in society, right? Servant leadership included, right? I mean, there's corporate CEO, Fortune 500 companies talking about servant leadership and all this other stuff. So they're all buzzwords. And we have lots of words that we throw around, like modeling servant leadership. And so two things that I thought of when you said that. So first of all, we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to be really careful that we don't just throw that phrase around, that we do need to see the people that we are with They are God's people. God has redeemed them. And we need to treasure them as they are family. Before organizational colleagues or missionary team members or anything else, they're family. And of course, we all know families are not always working smoothly. So that was one thing. The other thing is that in terms of seeing leaders that have helped me, is they have genuinely showed me what it is to depend upon God for all that you don't have, for the resources you don't have. So one of the great privileges of leadership is being stretched, right? Don't you find that as a pastor?
Yeah, I grew by 3 cm.
Yeah, but I mean, so that first, your first mission trip, you were stretched. And one of the things that happened, we didn't talk about this, but you were forced to depend upon God in ways that you never would have volunteered for. And we see that time and again, and that's one of our roles as a leader is helping people see what it's like to go beyond your own abilities. Because if we're always just leading in our own abilities, it doesn't take faith. It doesn't take courage. It doesn't take the Holy Spirit. So we want to be people who step out in faith and obedience to God. That's the Abrahamic model of stepping out, right? Faith and obedience. And then hopefully other people see that God is enough.
Okay, I think it's maybe just bouncing off the things that you said. I think the key about spending time in God and dependence on God is very real, very real. And I think one of the first things to start, even to become a leader, is by becoming a very good follower. How to learn how to submit. Yeah, and because if you can't submit as a Christian and be a follower, then you can't be a Christian leader. Why? Because the Christian leader is constantly submitting to God. God uses human beings above us, human leaders, to teach us how to submit. And then we will learn from the dynamics that how we can submit to God. Then we are taking the marching orders from God. That's how you become a leader. And I find it really tough. Because a lot of times I tend to make plans out of common sense. Nothing wrong with that. Or out of just, you want to get a task done. Things to be done. See, because you tend to be doing always the urgent things. But you know that the four quadrants, we don't do the important things. We just do the urgent thing. And the important things takes time to calm yourself down, to pray about it, to reflect, and to go through a time with God and be reminded from His Word and from Him that, no, there are certain things you need. Yeah, I think that takes a lot of, the marching orders from God is hard because it takes us a lot of humility to come before God. Okay, I'm going to take your marching orders again. Where most of the time we're just trying to clear our to-do list. So we feel a sense of accomplishment or at least no sense of blame from beings. And so a lot of times we can only start that when we learn how to submit even at a human level.
So can you give us an example of what it looks like to actually to submit to your leader? I mean, what does that mean?
I think it's, first thing first, what motivates me to submit is submission is actually Christ-likeness. Because a lot of times we like to have Christ-likeness in terms of gentleness, goodness, courage, and all that. And nothing wrong with these Christian qualities. But if subtly, if not careful, we want these qualities so that we can be put on a pedestal, so that people will say, ah, you're a good Christian. But we forget that the heart of all these fruit that you can bear comes from the fact that you're first and foremost submitting to God. You don't put the cart before the horse, you see. Submitting, and Christ submitted to God the Father throughout His whole life. All the way, of course, recently, we looked through a book of Mark, and the Gethsemane is clearly, Christ-likeness is clearly submission. That not my will, but your will be. And only then, he can be meek before Pontius Pilate. He can be strong, and yet doesn't have to call down fire from heaven and walk to the cross resolutely. I think that is the principle that drives me in terms of Christian submission. In times, maybe we can talk about the feedback then from that perspective. Before that, maybe let's talk about then it all boils down, if you look at Christ at the cross, how does He submit? It's because He trusts completely in the Father that He will not let His body decay. That's why He's willing to go to die. As you lay dead in the tomb, there's zero thing you can do to raise yourself up. You're putting a complete trust in another person. So submission requires a lot of faith. So for example, when as a follower, right, when you submit to your boss, it requires faith that God is still in control, that God will see what you're doing and He can overturn things. So for example, one of the classic stories I really like about submission is David and Saul. So Saul was the first king that was appointed over Israel. And Saul became a jealous boss because David, songs were sung over David because he killed more than Saul. So he achieved greater things. And so Saul has this whole campaign of destroying David. What David could have done is that he could have killed Saul twice. But each time he didn't. Because he said, this is the Lord's anointed one, the Lord's anointed one. So he's submitting unto the Lord, knowing that no matter how nasty the boss is, and no matter how much he's innocent, this is still God's appointed boss over him. That is really tough. That is really tough. But he's trusting that the Lord can redeem somehow. Of course, he's not going to be passively let Saul kill him. He still runs away and still has to make decisions and trying to honor God. But ultimately, the heart is somehow God will honor him. And I think that makes him the king that God wanted. That was part of his training program, the submission. Then the other one is, maybe I can ask you, how do you deal with difficult followers?
There are a number of factors. All the things that you've already said, going to God. I can think of a couple of situations where I have people who were working for me. One was intentionally defying me, and another one was maybe intentionally but less overtly. This was when I was in Denver. There were two very different situations with somebody who disagreed with me strongly, but she came to me and we talked about it. You go to God, you really have to check your heart. It's this humility thing because they may be right. Right? In fact, a lot of times they are. Maybe it's the right idea, but wrong implementation. You really have to be willing to set aside your ego just before the Lord. You have to make sure that stuff is in the right place. I think you also, if you're dealing with difficult followers, you have to think about the context and how do you deal with them fairly? They are God's child. And so that's one of the things that really hit home. That's why I brought it up the last time, is this is my brother. This is my sister. And I have to do right by them before the Lord. So there's this verse in Hebrews 13 that is a scary verse if you're a leader. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I love that passage. It would be of no advantage to make the leader's role difficult. As a leader, you do give an account to God. And then you have to figure out what is the kingdom of God perspective? What's the Jesus perspective on this situation? Jesus always told the truth. You have to be willing to not worry about whether or not they're going to like you. As I said earlier, that's one of my weak spots. I have to do what's right for the situation. If our aim is to please God, if our aim is to give glory to God, then I have to keep that in mind first and foremost, not whether or not this person likes me. But having said all that, in both situations, I found that if I could sit down, I made sure I heard them and listened to them, seek first to understand and then to be understood. In one case, it was a misunderstanding. In another case, it was a difference of opinion. But because we had enough rapport and trust, in the end, her role was to trust God that He would lead me, if you understand what I'm saying. As a leader, I don't think you can just turn around and say, you just got to trust God, son. Submit and trust God. I don't think that's a good leadership tactic. You also have to have faith in God as a leader, not just as a follower. You also have to have that sense of submitting to God. And I think there's always a mutual submission going on in the body of Christ, too. It's just that part of that is to say, okay, God has put me in a leadership role, then it's my responsibility before God to do what needs to be done.
Good followership, as someone was mentioned, was giving feedback, right? And good leadership means you're able to take feedback. You'll be driving down a cliff if you don't listen to your wife. I think that the challenge also is how do we give feedback, especially for Asians, because we tend not to make our leaders lose face, so-called, in public. And so we tend to hold our tongue. But if not careful, then the truck, whole vehicle could go down the cliff if we hold our tongue, you see. Yeah, so I think the challenge is how do we lovingly submit by giving feedback? But maybe in a more appropriate occasions, or maybe not in large public setting where you know he couldn't react. But that takes a lot of discernment and courage. When I was younger, I tend to be influenced by King Lear. The last daughter, right, was the one who gave the true feedback, but was cast aside. The key is, The story of King Lear is, yes, because you love the father, so you have to give the proper feedback. But I think it takes also humility before God to know how to give the feedback. And sometimes I think just as the leader says, I could be wrong, which is why I want to listen to feedback. And then giving feedback also, we need to, I've come to learn that I need to have the attitude that I could be wrong too, even in my feedback. And because the truth is, there's only 24 hours a day what a leader can do. And in any task that we do, there's also a limited time. A lot of times we give feedback out of the desire for ideal situation, which means you have infinite time and infinite resources, which can never happen. So it's recognizing that maybe it might not be the time. And so even giving feedback needs to pray, praying how to do it properly. That's where leadership needs really a lot of humility. I find it really tough if it's a large group setting and then I receive a feedback and go, so naturally I want to be defensive, to be honest about it. Yes, really hard. So I think it takes, I go back to what Mark says, and ultimately we have to love one another. Yeah, ultimately, we have even beyond the task, you must always spend time to create the environment to love one another and being open and share. And then once you have that relationship, then when someone speaks, then you know that person is speaking out of love. But of course, it takes time for that. But no one has time for that because we just want to complete our task.
Yeah. Just in the mission situation, this is where you do need to invest in each other as a team, brothers and sisters in your relationship, because it is the love for one another that fosters a sense of trust that you know that even if they give you feedback, make no mistake, those two people, those two situations, the one who just disagreed with me, I know it was really difficult for her to come to me. So I knew it was tough, but we had a relationship, I think, that helped open the door. So it's, the leader has to do that. But as a follower, you have to be willing to exercise the humility and the courage. You may be desperate before God for the courage and the opening and anything it takes to... If you feel like God needs you, wants you to speak up, you know, you just go through the Bible and think about all those. I mean, Moses didn't want to be a leader, you know. So it's not a situation that's unique to you. I think it's a challenge for everybody. But this is not about you. It's about God, right? And even the small things are important. One of the things is you often don't have a good amount of time. And that's one reason why we need to be learning to stay close to Jesus all the time. Right? Not just get prayed up when you've got a tough situation coming, but cultivating that relationship with the Lord, hiding the word in your heart, doing all those things, you know, begging God for transformation and all the other things that put us in a situation where we ultimately say the supremacy of Christ is more important. You don't get there by showing up.
Thanks. So I guess the last thing to talk about will be, so after tonight, how are we growing in this area? How do you think God can give us situations where we can grow? I think like the key verse for me is really from Ephesians 5:21 all the way down. Just a quick reminder, right? Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It doesn't mean that always bowing at one another. But what it means is different roles in life. And depending on what role you play, and you submit based on the role. So, for example, my relationship with my sister Angie, in the missions committee, I'm the pastor, so she's helping me. But when I go to children's church, my children are under her. And tomorrow is meet the parents session, so I have to submit to her. I mean, it's true, right? Because the relationship has changed. Yeah, I can't go into children's church and say, I'm the pastor, and you know, what are they have to tell me?
And and you'll start getting gray hair too.
no hair. Yeah, so it's like, I think that's what it means by submitting to one another our reference for Christ, because you come on different situations in life, you will play different roles, and you have to play according to the role, and then only then can the body of Christ be built up, then there will be unity. And say, interestingly here, Paul continues to say about the roles between a husband and wife, right? Verse 22 all the way down to 33. And then continue with 6 verse 1, children and parents, or to 6:4. And then 6:5 onwards to 6:9 is about slaves and masters, which is employees in a modern context. Yeah, so I realized that one way to practice, to grow as a Christian leader, in the sense that having influence over others, is regardless of what situation in life you are, That's the best training ground. It's not something that you can read 10 books and write a thesis and you grow as a leader. You don't. Because ultimately, you have to deal with our sinful nature. It takes time. And it's within the each and every situation we have found. So I find it very helpful for myself now. Yeah, it's the way in my home. Sometimes, as I try to troubleshoot situations in family life with young kids and a tired wife, and then you realize that, wow, God, what's this got to do with anything? Because no one trains you for this. Yeah, and it's not your daily job, right? You don't talk about this. But it's always through those situations that I realize how much I have to learn as a leader. And one recently was a case where I was doing just a night devotion with my kids before the bedtime. I was going through the Jesus Storybook Bible. And we love to act out the scene where Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt. And they were chased by the Egyptian soldiers on the way. And then where was he leading them to? To the sea. And so everybody's complaining about leader. Like, you know, what kind of leader are you, right? We're going to die. And if I were Moses, I will give up. It's true. I'm like, what a bad leader I am. What have I done? I let them out of slavery, but now into sure death. Because they're going to be drowned, or not, they'll be trampled and shot to death by the Egyptian soldiers. But what he did was very different. You see, he just said, as we acted out as a family, the kids, and he said, yeah, no, God will make a way. God will make a way. And ultimately, I realized that leadership was to point to God's faithfulness and to his love, and not to point to our capability. Because in that particular situation, no human being can solve it. Yeah. Only Moses could do it with God's help, to part the sea. And a lot of times, as we share the gospel with people, I'm sure Mark can attest it, when your friend becomes a Christian, sometimes it means death and suffering for a friend. You know, it can lead persecution, rejection from a family. And then you go, oh no, what did I do? Right? You may be very enthusiastic, happy about it. But after a while, you realize there's a cost to discipleship that you're leading your friend to. Then there's the real leadership starts. Are you pointing to your friend and to yourself? And no, we're going to look at God. He will make a way. He will make a way. And He's faithful and He's merciful and He's love. He will make a way. And a lot of times we learn these lessons through our daily life. Whether it's with our bosses, with our parents, and with our spouses or children, or in a church ministry or discipleship groups, yeah, especially when you do certain things together, and you struggle, you wonder why. So just encourage us to don't give up. I'm encouraging myself. At times you really feel that, oh my goodness, I failed again, like Yong, I failed again as a husband, I failed again as a father, I failed again as a pastor. And it's just to keep, no, it's nothing to do with me, it's all about God. So in a sense, you just meditate on these verses from Ephesians 5 and 6. And then you can see why Paul wisely concludes, and even in the act of submitting to one another for the unity of the body, we need the armor of God. Put on the full armor of Christ, because it's tough. So this is not something not that we do in theory, but I hope that it's something you can take away in our daily lives. You can pray for one another. For Mark, hand over to you.
No, I think you said it well. I think learning to live as people of faith, in dependence upon God, right where you're at, in your family situation, in your work situation, in your friend situation, the disappointments that come, the joys that come, and as we were saying, it really, don't just go through life. Don't just kind of coast. If I could say anything to you, is just find a way by the grace of God to be intentional about how you live. And Romans 12, by the mercies of God, therefore I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, day in and day out. And every time you run into the tough situation, saying, God, what is the way here? And train me through it. The more you do that, the more God, in a sense, has equipped you to use you in the future. The more you do that, the more you make yourself available to the Lord for whatever He wants. And it may not be anything in terms of recognition or leadership or whatever, but it's everything in terms of faithfulness and pleasing Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Light from Asia, a podcast by Adam Road Presbyterian Church. Today's conversation on leadership is part of the ARPC Missions Roundtable. If you would like to attend the next Missions Roundtable, you can email missions@arpc.sg.